Good evening. If you have your Bibles, if you turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 through 16, I'd like to thank the pastor for the opportunity to preach. I don't deserve to be up here, but it's for God's grace that I am. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Now, we've been in a series on the parables and the parabolic sayings of Jesus. And as Pastor Gillett has reminded us, Jesus used parables for a very simple reason. He wanted people to understand the truth. He didn't use complicated language or speak over people's heads. He took everyday things, things people saw, touched, and lived with on a daily basis, and he used them to reveal what the kingdom of God is really like. A parable was an earthly picture with a heavenly meaning. It's a simple story or saying that carries a spiritual truth. And every time Jesus told one, he was doing two things. One, revealing truth to those who wanted it. Two, exposing the heart of those who didn't. And that's what this series is about. We're not just studying stories. We're letting Jesus shine a light on our hearts. Tonight, we come to the two of the clearest and most searching pictures Jesus ever used, salt and light. Before we read the text, I want to present two scenes, one about salt and one about light, that show exactly what Jesus meant. In the wild, many animals often walk miles, sometimes through danger, just to reach a salt lick, because they cannot survive without salt. Their normal food doesn't give them what they need. They live with constant deficiency. They are starving for something they can't produce on their own. And here's the amazing part. The salt lick didn't try to attract them. He simply contains the mineral deficient and what the mineral the deficient animal needed. Its influence comes from its nature, not its effort. Its very nature draws them. Animals can smell it from far away. It tastes, satisfies something deep inside them. Generation after generation, they wear paths through the forest leading straight to it. But if the salt lick becomes contaminated or loses its mineral content, the animals abandon it because it's useless. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Your life should make people hungry for God. Your character should draw them in. Your distinctiveness should create a path for others to follow. But if we lose our savor, if we become just like the world, we lose the very thing that makes us useful. Salt shows us what a Christian is on the inside. Light shows us what a Christian becomes on the outside. So after Jesus tells us we are the salt of the earth, he immediately adds another picture to complete the truth. You know, as a teenager, I visited a cavern near Monterrey, Mexico. At one point, the guide turned off every light. I had never experienced darkness like that. It was heavy and absolute. I held my hand in front of my face and I couldn't see a thing. And then the guide turned on a small single light, and instantly, without effort, the darkness faded away. Every eye in the room focused on that one small beam of light. It didn't take a spotlight or a flood light, just one steady light in total darkness changed everything. And that is what Jesus meant when he said, "Ye are the light of the world." See, light doesn't fight the darkness. It simply shines, and the darkness cannot resist. Your life should make the way to God clearer for people around you. Your words and actions should help others see what is true, what is right, and where hope is found. But if we hide our light, if fear or shame or compromise cover it, people stay in the dark, and the purpose of our light is lost. With those pictures in mind, salt that attracts the needy and the light that shines through the darkness, Tonight, we're going to see that Jesus teaches that true disciples influence the world from the inside out. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16 in the Bible reads, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." See, when Jesus spoke these words, he had just finished teaching the Beatitudes. He had described the kind of heart that belongs to someone who truly follows him, a humble heart that knows it needs God, a broken heart over sin, a meek and surrendered heart, a hungry heart that longs for righteousness, a merciful heart, a clean and honest heart, a peacemaking heart, and a faithful heart that stands for what is right, even when it costs you something. And right after painting that picture, Jesus turns to his disciples and says, "This is who you are in the world." He didn't give them a job description. He gave them two pictures. Every person in the crowd understood: salt and light. And these weren't fancy ideas. They were everyday realities, things they saw, used, tasted, and lived with. And Jesus used them to show the influence of a true disciple. So when Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth," the people listening weren't thinking about the white, refined table salt that we shake out on our food today. Their minds went straight to the salt that they use every day, the coarse mineral mixed salt from the Dead Sea. This salt wasn't pure. It came in large blocks and had very specific purpose. In most homes, people cooked with a small clay oven. They didn't have wood like we do, so they used dry animal dung as fuel. But dung alone didn't burn hot enough to keep the fire hot. They lined the bottom of the oven with blocks of the Dead Sea salt. This salt helped the fire burn hotter and longer. But the salt did more than that. It kept food from going bad, and without refrigeration, meat would spoil quickly in the heat. So they rubbed it with salt, and salt slowed the decay. It kept things from rotting, and the salt also made the food taste good. It brought out the flavor. It made the meal enjoyable. It added something pleasant and wholesome. Everyone in the crowd knew exactly why salt mattered. But over time, humidity or heat would cause the salt block to lose its savor or its strength, meaning its chemical ability to keep the fire hot or to preserve or to flavor food. Although it looked the same on the outside, the minerals inside were gone. It was useless. So they threw it out into the footpaths where it hardened the dirt and kept the weeds down, but it had no real value. See, everyone in the crowd knew exactly what Jesus meant. Salt that they still had, that still had its savor or strength, was valuable. Salt that lost its savor or strength was worthless. And when Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth," he is saying that your presence should slow the moral decay around you. Your character should make a difference. Your life should make people thirsty for God, and your distinctiveness should matter. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a master expositor of Scripture, teaches, "Salt is the quiet influence of a holy life, the inward character of the Beatitudes lived out in the world." You know, in Scripture, Mark also records Jesus using the pitcher of salt on another day in a very different setting. This time, Jesus was in a house in Capernaum, speaking privately to his disciples after they had been arguing about who was the greatest. It was in that moment that Jesus used the same image of salt to teach a different truth. And he said in Mark chapter 9 and verse 49, "Everyone shall be salted with fire." The disciples understood that picture because they used salt to keep the dung-fueled fires hot. And Jesus was telling them that those that were following him involved he was telling them that following him involves purification, a refining fire that burns away pride, selfishness, or anything that keeps us from being useful to God. Jesus then added in Mark 9:50, "Have salt in yourselves and be at peace one with another." In other words, let God do his work inside you. Let him make you clean, steady, and distinct. Let him give you a character that perseveres, strengthens, and brings peace instead of conflict. And let the inner work show up in how you treat others. Salt begins on the inside. Salt is who you are when no one is looking. Salt is the quiet influence of our life shaped by Jesus. And when Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world," the people listening knew exactly what he meant. Most homes in that day were small, one-room houses with no windows and no electricity. And when the sun went down, the only source of light was a small clay lamp with oil and a simple wick. And when that lamp was lit, it didn't just brighten the corner, it lit the whole room. See, the inside walls were coated with a white limestone plaster so that the light reflected off the walls and filled the entire space, pushing back darkness and making it easier to see. Everyone knew you didn't light a lamp and then cover it with a bushel basket. A bushel was a grain measuring basket, and if you put it over a lamp, it would smother the flame. It would defeat the whole purpose. A lamp was meant to be seen. A lamp was meant to shine. A lamp was meant to guide. And when Jesus gave them another picture, a city set on a hill in the Judean hill country, many towns were built with white limestone. And when the sun hit those stones, or when the lamps burned inside the homes at night, the whole city glowed. You couldn't hide it if you tried. It was visible by design. So when Jesus says, "Ye are the light of the world," he is saying that your life should expose what is wrong. Your example should guide people who are lost. Your testimony should reveal what is true. And your walk with God should help people find their way home. See, Mark also records Jesus using a picture of the lamp earlier in his ministry when he was teaching by the Sea of Galilee in the context of the parable of the sower in Mark 4. Mark 4 and verse 21, "Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick?" See, in other words, hidden light is a contradiction. Light is meant to shine. And then Jesus added in Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, "Take heed what ye hear." A reminder that we are responsible for how we respond to God's truth. And Jesus said in Mark 4:24, "Unto you that hear shall more be given." See, obedience brings more understanding, more clarity, and more light. And as Martin Lloyd-Jones teaches, light is an outward expression of the Beatitudes, the visible testimony of a life that has been changed by Jesus. Building off the truth of salt and light, we can say it this way. Salt is the quiet influence of who you are. Light is the visible influence of what you do. Salt works silently. Light shines openly. Salt draws people in. Light shows people the way. And together they paint the picture of a disciple who lives in a world in a way that points people to God. Now that we've seen the parable, here's the big idea. Jesus teaches that true disciples influence the world by the power of a changed life. Salt is the quiet influence of your character. Light is the visible influence of your actions. And when Christ forms the Beatitudes in you, your life becomes a preserving, guiding influence in a dark and decaying world. So live distinctively and shine openly. Now, Jesus never gives truth just to fill our minds. He gives truth to shape our lives. And salt and light are not decorations. They are not optional extras. They are the calling of every disciple. And Jesus is telling us that the world around us desperately needs what God has put inside of us. So let's take two pictures and bring them right into our daily lives. Live distinctively. You are the light of the salt of the earth, excuse me. The world is decaying. It needs your influence. See, Jesus said the world is like that meat without salt is rotting, and you don't have to look far to see it. We live in a world filled with moral decay, spiritual confusion, and emotional brokenness. Theologian James Montgomery Boyce points out that the rich man in Luke 16 didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he was lost. His lack of compassion simply revealed a heart that had never been changed by God. And that is the world we live in, a world where people are hurting, empty, and lost, and most never stop to think about eternity. God did not save you to escape the world. He saved you to influence it. He placed his people here to restrain corruption. Your presence in your home, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your school, it matters more than you know. You may feel small, you may feel unnoticed, but salt always works quietly. It never makes a bunch of noise. It doesn't draw attention to itself. It simply does its job. And without it, everything around it decays. You are God's answer to the moral rot in the world. Not by shouting louder or trying to win arguments, but by living a life that is clean, steady, holy, and distinct. A life that slows the decay around you. And Jesus gives a warning. Salt can lose its savor. In that ancient world, that Dead Sea salt was mixed with minerals. And when the actual salt leached out, all that was left was a white dust that looked like salt, but it had no power. New Testament scholar Joachim Yeremiah. How do you say it? Joachim Yeremiah. Excuse me. I can't even pronounce his name now. I was practicing it for a good long time. Well, he explains that these salt blocks were used to line these clay ovens like we talked about earlier. And over time, the salt burned out, leaving behind a useless crust. And it looked the same, but it had no chemical effect. And that is what happens to a Christian who becomes contaminated by the world. Luke 14 says, such salt is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. You know, Herbert Locklear, an evangelical pastor and author, explains that when salt lost its savor in the ancient world, it became so useless that even the manure pile couldn't benefit from it. You know, Mark adds that the salt have lost its saltiness, meaning if the disciple loses his distinctiveness, he loses his influence. You know, a Christian who blends in cannot preserve anything. A Christian who tastes like the world cannot influence the world. A Christian who loses his savior loses his usefulness. And this is not legalism. It is holiness. It's purity. It's the Beatitudes becoming real in your life. The world does not need more Christians who act like the world. The world needs Christians who are different, not strange, not harsh, not proud, but holy, humble, pure, and Christ-like. You know, Martin Lloyd-Jones teaches the Beatitudes produce a kind of character that becomes salt. You cannot be salt without being poor in spirit, meek, merciful, pure in heart, and hungry for righteousness. Salt is not a performance. It is a person shaped by Jesus. James Montgomery Boyce, when explaining the parable of the sower, warns that the thorny soil looks alive and religious, but produces nothing. And that same danger Jesus is warning us about here. It is possible to attend church, to sing the songs, to carry the Bible, to serve in ministry, and still have no savor. Jesus says, have salt in yourselves, meaning let God purify you. Let him burn away the pride, the anger, the bitterness, the compromise, the secret sin, the double life. Let him make you clean on the inside so that you can be useful on the outside. A Christian who tastes like the world cannot preserve the world, but a Christian who is distinct can have an effect on everything around him. Brothers and sisters, let me say this lovingly and plainly. There are people right here in our city who desperately need salt and light. Every Friday night at Bridge to Recovery, men and women walk through our doors who are hurting, broken, addicted, ashamed, and searching for hope. They don't need perfect people. They need salty people. They need people whose lives have been changed by Jesus. They need people who will sit with them, pray with them, listen to them, walk with them toward freedom. And if you want a place to serve and to live out this message, a place to be salt in a decaying world and light in a dark one, Bridge to Recovery is that place. We need group leaders. We need mentors. We need encouragers. We need nursery workers, snack providers, prayer partners, and people who simply care. And if God has put salt in you, let him use you to slow the decay in someone's life. If God has lit your lamp, let him set it on a candlestick where hurting people can see the way home. Therefore, shine openly. Let your light shine openly. You are the light of the world. Jesus now moves from salt to light, and he makes one thing clear. Light is meant to be seen. James Montgomery Boyce, says, a hidden Christian is a contradiction. You cannot shine for Christ if you're trying to stay invisible. In that one-room house in Israel, covering a lamp was absurd. The bushel basket was used to smother the flame when the family left the house. No one lit a lamp just to hide it. Jesus is saying, don't hide what I've done in you. Fear can cover your light. Comfort can cover your light. Compromise can cover your light. But a covered light helps no one. Light is meant to shine. Herbert Lockyer says that a bushel represents anything that covers your testimony. Fear, business, comfort, compromise. Mark asks, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? Jesus is saying, why would I save you, fill you, change you, only for you to hide what I've done? Light is meant to be seen. Light is meant to shine. Light is meant to guide. And your life is not supposed to blend into the darkness. It is supposed to stand out, not in arrogance, not in self-promotion, but in quiet, steady, unmistakable brightness. James Montgomery Boyce reminds us of the 10 virgins. Lamps only burn when oil is present. Without oil, the lamp is just a decoration. Without oil, the flame dies. Without oil, the darkness overtakes us. And in the same way, your light only shines when the Holy Spirit is burning within you. You cannot shine without him. You cannot guide others without him. You cannot reveal truth without him. And this is why time with God matters. This is why prayer matters. This is why holiness matters. This is why obedience matters. A lamp without oil is useless. A Christian without the Spirit's filling is powerless. And if your light is dim, it is not because the darkness is too strong. It is because the fuel is low. Go back to the source. Go back to the word. Go back to prayer. Go back to surrender. Let your light, the Spirit fill you again. You know, Jesus said our good works should make people glorify the Father. But what kind of works is he talking about? Martin Lloyd Jones says good works are beatitude works, works that flow from a changed heart. In other words, the light people see on the outside comes from the character Jesus forms on the inside. Your good works are not about impressing people. They are about revealing God. And when you forgive, when you show mercy, when you stay pure, when you hunger for righteousness, that's the light Jesus is talking about. Those are the works that makes the world look up and see the Father. Remember, salt is who you are. Light is what you do inside to the outside. And as we close, Jesus has told us who we are. Not who we're trying to become, not who we hope to be someday, who we already are in Him. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. Here's the big idea one more time. True disciples influence the world, so live distinctively and shine openly. Salt works quietly. Light shines openly. Salt slows decay. Light shows the way. Salt is who you are on the inside. Light is what you become on the outside. And Jesus says both are essential. So live distinctively. You are the salt of the earth. Salt doesn't make noise. Salt doesn't draw attention to itself. Salt simply does what it's made to do. Jesus warns that salt can lose its savor. So let me ask you. Has your savor faded? Are you slowing decay around you or becoming contaminated? Do you have salt in yourself or have you let compromise dilute your influence? Jesus is calling you back to purity, back to holiness, back to the beatitude character that makes you useful in a decaying world. Shine openly. You are the light of the world. Light is meant to be seen. A hidden Christian is a contradiction. So let me ask you, what bushel is covering your light? Fear? Comfort? Compromise? A double life? A quiet faith that never speaks? Never stands, never shines. Jesus didn't light your life so that you could hide it. He lit it so others could see the way to Him. So we stand and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. You know, Jesus doesn't call silent partners. He calls visible, distinct, burning disciples. He calls men and women who will be what he saved them to be. Salt in a rotting world. Light in a dark world. So tonight, will you come and say to him, Lord, restore my savior or my savor. Lord, lift my bushel. Make me what you saved me to be. And if you happen to be here tonight and you do not know Jesus, the person who gave us these qualities, you can simply come and meet one of these waiting here in the front, and they'll open the Bible and show you how that you can know Christ, how you can become the salt of the earth, and how you can be the light of the world. When you live distinctively and shine openly, the world doesn't see you. They see your Father in heaven.